In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. It is Monday today, the 25th day of February. Good as always to have you along, everybody. Spent a couple of days in Washington last week, as I think I've mentioned, getting a couple of interviews in the can. Christine Lagarde at the International Monetary Fund, who you heard on Thursday. Today, former Fed Chair Janet Yellen. Since leaving the Fed last February after President Trump chose not to reappoint her, Yellen has been at the Brookings Institution in Washington, keeping her hand in, as it were, on matters macroeconomic. We got to Brookings a little bit early for our interview, as one does when meeting a former Fed chair. But she called us right in, no waiting around, made a little small talk, sat down on the couch in her mostly bare office. She does most of her work at home, it turns out, and we got right to it.
It dawned on me when I was getting ready for this interview, doing a little research. You were at the Federal Reserve via your role as the president of the San Francisco Fed.
Yes.
And then vice chair and chair.
Yes.
You were there for 14 years.
Yeah, and I was a governor for a couple of years in the 90s prior to that.
Excellent point. You picked an interesting 14 years.
That 14 years was very, very interesting because it was, I was out in San Francisco, and the San Francisco Fed covered 9 Western states where much of the run-up in housing prices mm-hmm. took place. And I was out there during the time that that was going on. And then, of course, after the financial crisis.
Bring it forward now then. Here we sit in 2019, a little bit more than 10 years past the worst of the crisis. How was this economy changed by the crisis? I mean, you have said you as a central banker were shaped by the crisis. Talk to me about the economy in this crisis.
The economy is different now. And, you know, we suffered a very long period of having a depressed economy and labor market because of the damage from the crisis. And we do have solid consumer spending in the U.S. economy, and it's not based on a housing bubble or unsustainable borrowing.
But as long as we're on consumers, I'm sure you saw that report out from the New York Fed a week-ish ago, whatever it was, about millions of people being delinquent on their car loans. And I wonder if maybe consumers are being asked to bear a little bit much of the burden in this economy right now.
Consumers have seen some gains in real income, but they're really pretty minus.
Right. Yeah.
They're modest. And in recent years, some areas like auto lending, credit card lending, obviously student debt, have opened up. My sense is that the increase in delinquencies partly reflects the fact that credit standards have become somewhat less tight.
Without asking you to comment directly on what Chair Powell is doing, because I know you won't, I wonder whether things would have been similar at the Fed had you been reappointed.
Well, I am...
Would the path of monetary policy have been similar?
I think the path of policy would have been broadly similar. Mm-hmm. We had a strongly recovering economy, and the Fed for many years had its foot solidly pressed to the mm-hmm. pedal to the metal.
and other phrases you never thought you'd hear Janet Yellen say.
Given it lots of gas.
Right.
Now, we also had a huge fiscal stimulus mm-hmm. that came at a time when the economy was arguably operating near full employment, really didn't need that stimulus. And I think it was appropriate to tighten financial conditions some to make sure that inflation didn't heat up. I have to say that the inflation outlook is just very benign. We have really tight labor markets, and inflation is barely 2%.
And you have famously said, I'm paraphrasing here, I don't know what's going on with inflation, right? I mean, you're smiling.
A little more extreme than I probably would have put it myself.
But you said you can't figure it out, right?
There's less inflationary pressure than I would have expected in a labor market this tight. Many people have never experienced high inflation who were around today.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's going to be a shock.
I lived through the 70s when inflation was very high and the Fed didn't really do much about it for a long time when it bubbled up. I think many people now believe inflation will run around 2%, and they're not terribly worried about high inflation. And I think that Fed's trustworthy. The Fed's amassed a very good record since certainly the early 90s. But right now, the inflation is barely running at 2% after 6 or 7 years of under 2%. And it's hard to feel strong inflationary pressures building from any data or conversations with businesses.
You mentioned the trustworthiness of the Fed and its track record, which gets me to the American public having confidence in the Federal Reserve. You and Chair Bernanke and Chairman Greenspan and everybody at the Fed works really hard on that. I have to ask you then about some of the remarks by the President of the United States about Chair Powell and what the Federal Reserve is doing. And in his mind, the impact that it's having.
Well, I don't think it's had a tremendous impact yet, but President Trump's comments do concern me because if it becomes concerted, I think it does have the impact, especially if conditions in the U.S. for any reason were to deteriorate. It could undermine confidence in the Fed, and I think that that would be a bad thing.
Do you think the president has a grasp of macroeconomic policy?
No, I do not.
Tell me more.
Well, I doubt that he would even be able to say that the Fed's goals are maximum employment and price stability, which is the goals that Congress have assigned to the Fed. He's made comments about the Fed having an exchange rate objective in order to support his trade plans or possibly targeting the U.S. balance of trade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think comments like that shows a lack of understanding of the impact of the Fed on the economy and appropriate policy goals.
More broadly, then, his understanding of the effect of his trade tariffs and his withdrawal from, say, the Trans-Pacific Partnership?
Well, I think that's creating a lot of uncertainty for businesses. And I think when I continually hear focus by the president on remedying bilateral trade deficits with other trade partners, I think almost any economist would tell you that there's no real meaning to bilateral trade deficits, right, and it's not an appropriate objective of policy.
More from former Fed Chair Janet Yellen 10-something years after the financial crisis coming up in the second half of the program. On Wall Street today, might be a deal coming on China. There might not. President Trump's exact quote was, "Let's see what happens?" ? In the original tweet. We'll have the details when we do the numbers. This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Back we go to Washington, D.C., the Brookings Institution and the office of one Dr. Janet Yellen, Ph.D. We talked a little bit earlier about the state of the economy and President Trump's handling of it. Part two turns to the Fed itself.
What's the most important thing people don't understand about the Fed?
Well,
it's interesting.
That's a hard question. Many people don't really understand the objectives of monetary policy, and that's one reason that Chair Bernanke and I pushed to have an explicit statement of what the FOMC's longer-run goals and objectives are. I think, importantly, one of the most distressing things to me was during the financial crisis when the Fed intervened in order to stop what could have been a Great Depression and a complete financial meltdown. All too many Americans thought the Fed is doing this because they care about Wall Street and they want to make sure people on Wall Street don't lose a lot of money. And nothing could have been further from the truth, that the Fed was doing that so that the flow of credit to businesses and households didn't dry up. It could have been, if that had happened, that unemployment could have hit Great Depression levels. And so it really is important that the public see the Fed as an institution that cares about Main Street.
But you get why people were so upset during the crisis,
absolutely,
right?
As
Timothy Geithner said on this program, the gut instinct is to let it all burn down.
Yes, and people were really mad at what financial institutions and what happened in Wall Street, and they're right to be mad. I'm mad too. And it was very distasteful to have to do some of the things that prevented failures on Wall Street. I think Chair Bernanke has said that rescuing AIG was one of the most distasteful things that he ever had to do. I mean, here was a completely irresponsible firm that had taken actions that put the whole U.S. economy at risk. And the natural desire is to want to punish that wrongdoing, let's call it. Everyone in the Fed felt exactly the same way that all Americans do, but we didn't want to end up punishing the American people by allowing a financial crash that would have cost even more people their jobs than the large number who lost them.
So there are signs of softness in the American and global economy. I wonder, though, if, and you know, you're the person who famously said economic expansions don't die of old age. But do you think by looking for or looking at the weaknesses, we are bringing a recession upon ourselves?
Well, financial conditions have tightened and the stock market has dropped in part because of concerns about downside risks and the possibility of a recession, and financial conditions do matter to the actual outlook. So that linkage is there, that fear that there will be a recession can trigger changes that could bring one on. So there is some risk of a recession, but as you said, I don't think expansions die of old age. You know, we had a period of remarkable growth in 2018, or probably around 3%. That just isn't sustainable.
It's so funny that you say 3% is remarkable growth, because that for years was the norm.
That was the norm, but we're in a world of both slow labor force growth and low productivity growth, and probably a sustainable pace of growth in the U.S. economy is around 2 or possibly even a little under. Almost all economists anticipated that the U.S. economy would slow toward that trend this year. Much of the evidence that concerns people suggests, yes, that slowing is in train, but it doesn't suggest a recession, an actual downturn in the economy. And I don't believe we will have a recession this year, but of course it is a risk.
Dr. Yellen, thanks for your time, ma'am. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Nice to be with you, Kai.